fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
All right, not quite the same type of waiver wire enthusiasm perhaps this week, but there are some good ones out there, good ones for you to add to your team. Welcome, everybody. We've got the whole gang here. Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath. You know, Heath, we had a fake band name for the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast crew. We were a non-zero chance. Do you think we need one for the football crew?
I think that would be outstanding. I think what would be better, though, would be a little bit of a quick flashback this morning. I wish I should have told you to cut the tape from last week.
Oh, the Deshaun Watson thing?
Do you remember just absolutely roasting George Maselli for the trade he made to get George Maselli?
To get Deshaun Watson. He traded for himself?
I remember, yeah.
He traded me Matt Ryan and Bilal Powell for Deshaun Watson, which on its face already looks fine.
Oh, he beat me by 1 point. I am actually now
Deshaun
just
Watson
looking at my
scores.
Deshaun
Watson scored 45 points against you and beat you by one in that league.
Oh, my God. I did not even realize that. I had no idea until just now.
That's so awesome.
That's not all. There's nothing awesome about that. Actually, I thought you were going to rewind and say when you said the shine is coming off Deshaun Watson while we were recording during the Sunday night
also
game.
Also awesome.
Yes. So he's good, and we do have to recap that game plus last night's game. Equally exciting games Sunday night and Monday night. And you should be playing on FanDuel and starting Deshaun Watson. FanDuel.com. Sign up right now. Go to FanDuel and click the Join Now button and use our code CBSPOD. New users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes. When you make your first deposit on FanDuel, just use that code CBSPOD, and that is void where prohibited. Bills, Bengals, Cowboys, and Seahawks are on bye. And I think that the news, there is so much news. Quarterback news with Luck, Mariota, Bradford, Stafford, Carr. Of course, Giants wide receiver news with Beckham and Marshall both out for the year. Jordy update, Travis Kelce, Charles Clay. A lot of news, some running back stuff as well. But all right, let's do what we always do, guys. Give me your top three waiver wire priorities as we go into fantasy week 6. Jamie, why don't you kick it off?
Number one would be, and this is the guys that are available in 65% of leagues or lower, because Javoris Allen is just above that at 66%. So I'll take him out of that equation. Jerick McKinnon, after what he showed last night, proving that what we said last week was wrong. I'll say Elijah McGuire second, because if he starts without Bilal Powell and Matt Forte, there's going to get a lot of work and could be decent. And then I'll just stay at the running back spot and go Wayne Gallman third at 62%. McGuire's at 49%. McKinnon's at 29%. Gallman may have to do a lot of heavy lifting with this Giants offense moving forward.
All right, so you went with McKinnon, McGuire, Gallman.
Yep.
Okay, Dave, Heath?
I gotta agree with McKinnon and McGuire as the top two. And feels stupid looking back. If we want to burn tape, let's burn everything that we said about Latavius Murray.
I will say this, just to stop you right there.
Sure.
Because I had to rewrite this and explain the whole thing over again. That, remember at this time, McKinnon had the ankle injury leaving week 4.
Yes, that's true.
So it kind of played into at least my thoughts, I'm sure probably all of ours as well, that Murray was going to be the guy by himself at least for maybe 1 week. That McKinnon left week 4 against the Lions when the game that Cook got hurt.
Well, and I feel like we gave plenty of caution that
Murray stinks. We thought he'd get a lot.
No, yes, but if it was Murray versus Jones or Murray versus the other guys, I think we're fine. It's the same backfield. So, I can only revisit what I wrote. I don't remember exactly what we said. And what I wrote was, get Murray, get McKinnon if you can. But it was Murray's the one that we were promoting.
Yeah. And the good news is you can still get McKinnon. It's not like he was as widely added as Latavius was.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's the bid points you can't get back.
You can't get those back. Marlon Mack is third for me. I think we're going to continue to see him get around 10 touches per game. This is the year of the 10-touch-per-game running back.
Do you like him or Breida better?
I like him better because eventually Andrew Luck is going to be back, mm-hmm. and that offense could be a lot stronger. Gore is still going to mess around and be part of the mix, but I think that Mac just has some speed that no one else on Indianapolis has outside of T.Y. Hilton.
I just struggle with those two guys because I kind of look at them in a very similar light.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That they both need an injury to be great, and I think Breida has that situation closer because of the hip thing that's bothering Hyde and where mm-hmm. the coaches are kind of at with him.
It's close between those mm-hmm. two, but I like Mac.
Heath?
Oh, I don't want to say the same thing. Like, I don't disagree with anything that's been said so far, but let's talk about a different position. I was pretty encouraged last night by Kendall Wright, and he is much higher on my wide receiver priority than he is on the list that we're going to talk about later, so I'll talk about him. I'm going to add Kendall Wright in a few more leagues after I've dropped him in a couple leagues. I believe he's pretty clearly their best wide receiver, and he was behind Zach Miller in targets, but ahead of all the other wide receivers. I think Trubisky and him will build a rapport.
And yeah, how about a tight end, guys? Who's Safarian Jenkins? Because a lot of people, Kelsey's got a concussion. Charles Clay is out for a few weeks.
He's on a bye this week, though.
Right. And he's on a bye. So, and Jimmy Graham's on a bye. So people are definitely adding tight ends.
Three really good options.
And they are
Safarian Jenkins, Ryan Griffin against Cleveland, and Zach Miller, who got seven targets last night.
Yeah, and a touchdown. Was kind of a crazy touchdown, but. A touchdown, nonetheless.
That was so dumb.
But it happened. And you got to like the end zone target, at least.
The targets are great.
Right.
The touchdown.
Hang your hat on the targets, not on the fact, well, he scored. Well, you got lucky. Ed Dixon is going to get targets, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to average like 25 yards a game or whatever he ended up averaging against yards per catch.
Yeah.
He might average 25 yards per game eventually.
He averaged more than that.
He's already got more yards this year than he had in each of his previous 3 years. He got all that last week. He beat that number. And he's going to continue to play a lot until Greg Olsen's back.
Yeah, and there are also some tight ends that are, you know, about 80% owned. Evan Engram and Cameron Brait, who are available, and Hunter Henry, who's 69% owned. So that's going to be a popular position. The thing about Dixon is, like, you could just throw away his 5 for 175 as a total fluke. He actually had 3 catches for 62 yards in week 4 at New England. So that's 2 good games in a row. I mean, I'll take 6 fantasy points from a tight end I picked up off the waiver wire. That's 2 good weeks in a row for Dixon. Tight ends we'll have to spend some time on. There's also Alex Collins out there. There's Deion Lewis out there. So I guess the big names we gave were McKinnon, McGuire, and then Mack, Breida, and Gallman in some order. And yeah, and not a great week for quarterbacks. Is that fair to say?
No, it's not great. You've got Jacoby Brissett as like the headliner for bye week replacements.
I like Brissett against the Titans defense, and I kind of like Kevin Hogan as soon as they name him the starter.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. The Vikings DST did not do great, but they were a DST I was able to pick up last week. They were fine. The Broncos DST, it's going to be very, very few of you, but they're now 93% owned. They are going to have a great week against the Giants. So if I see the Broncos DST out there, yes, please. And actually, I would say Matt Bryant, too, 80% owned. I won't pick him up off waivers, I don't think, but free agency. Actually, there are probably a lot of good kickers who were dropped last week. So
for sure.
If you want to steal some points with kicks. We get into the big news here. Andrew Luck won't play this week. Not a surprise. Marcus Mariota could once again be a game-time decision. So that's a Monday night game, and that's always the worst when it comes to game time decisions. But we'll have to track that. Sam Bradford re-aggravated his knee injury and just looked awful. And then Case Keenum came in and actually looked pretty good. Matthew Stafford's status is unclear as he deals with hamstring and ankle issues. They're at New Orleans. Would you care at all about Jake Rudock if he got the start at the Saints this week?
No.
Okay. Derek Carr expected to play against the Chargers this week. I wouldn't I maybe make alternate plans, but Carr expected to play. Running back news. So Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News expects a heavy workload for Elijah McGuire. It's not a surprise. And San Francisco's going to go with the hot hand at running back. We just talked about Matt Breida. Like, how much do you buy? Well, actually, tell me what your read on that situation is and what you expect from this week at Washington from Breida and Hyde.
Tired team.
Very tired.
Three straight road games, back-to-back overtime games. I mean, this Kirk Cousins is the start of the week for me this week, so I expect the Redskins to put up a big number. I don't really want to trust Carlos Hyde at all.
No, the situation, I don't think there is a positive. I don't really want to pick up Breida. I don't think he's going to consistently get number one running back.
Oh, you'd pick up Breida if Hyde had to miss time, though, right?
Yes.
So you'd try to get ahead of that, wouldn't you?
I don't think I probably have a roster spot for him in most places. Like, but yes, he's not a terrible guy to have at the end of your bench.
I guess we'll talk about this a little bit later, but I may as well just throw it out there now. Which running backs do you think have the best long-term potential that you could pick up this week?
I mean, two that we talked about in Breida and Mack, and certainly McKinnon.
McKinnon would be ahead of those two.
Yeah.
But that's where McGuire falls off, because I think once Powell comes back and Forte comes back, there'll be too many guys there.
Yeah, there probably will be.
Yeah.
I could see a situation, though, where he is very good this week.
Of course.
And
he's
their number one running back for the last 6 weeks of the season.
Well, I mean, Adam's bold prediction would lead to them tanking, so.
Right.
All right, the Jets you're talking about.
Yeah.
Dave, my bold prediction is the Jets lose every game going forward.
They still play Miami one more time.
That's what Jamie said. Yeah, they'll play
the Chargers at home in week 16.
Ooh, that could be a tough one.
And they play at New England in week 17. What if the Patriots have everything wrapped up? If they have the number one seed all wrapped up. Jimmy Garoppolo could still beat them.
Have you heard of the Chiefs? Come on. Number one seed wrapped up. Come on now. Two games back of the Chiefs.
Long season.
All right, yeah. Do you think Deion Lewis is long-term potential? Good stash guy?
Not with Burkhead coming back.
No,
I agree.
Okay. Chuck Pagano says Marlon Mack should get more touches, and Wendell Smallwood may not play this week. Quick turnaround Thursday game at Carolina. Wide receiver news. Odell Beckham out for the season, broken ankle. Brandon Marshall out for the season, ankle injury. So the Giants wide receivers at Denver, if Sterling Shepard doesn't play, would be Roger Lewis, Tavares King, Travis Rudolph, and we shall see what they do. Jordy Nelson apparently had a hamstring injury, but he expects to play this week at Minnesota. Is he going to be a must start for you? We know Minnesota's good against number ones, and he'll possibly be playing with a hamstring injury. Should Jordy Nelson owners even think about a waiver wire wide receiver over Jordy?
No.
He played well against them last year.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't hurt against them last year.
Yeah. But do we know how much he's hurt? That's the thing.
We have no idea. Let's see if he practices.
All right, Kansas City wide receiver Chris Conley out for the year with a torn Achilles. Stephon Diggs hurt his groin last night. I know he came back into the game. I no word on the severity, right, Diggs?
Right.
Do you expect Devontae Parker and Julio Jones this week as they face off against each other?
Yes.
Sounds like they're both going to play.
Okay. We do, by the way, have the drop-o-meter, and somebody suggested dropping Devontae Parker, which you're definitely not going to do. But I know I put his numbers in here somewhere. Oh, after the first three games, Devontae Parker was on pace for 96 catches, 1,200 yards, and 5 touchdowns. So he was off to a very good start. Obviously, it was a dud last week because he got hurt. Tight end Kelsey left with a concussion. Do we know if he might play this week? Anything on Kelsey?
He is in the protocol. I would expect he's going to get cleared, but right now he's in the protocol.
And Charles Clay will miss multiple weeks with a torn meniscus and an MCL sprain. So Nick O'Leary, they're on a bye this week, but Nick O'Leary had 5 catches for 54 yards at Cincinnati in week 5. And we know they just don't have anyone to throw it to. All right, other news. Lane Johnson, Philadelphia's right tackle, unlikely to play this week. Seattle worked out left tackle or offensive tackle Brandon Albert as they have a bye. J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus both out for the season for Houston. Do you still trust Houston's DST against the Browns this week?
Yes.
All right. The Bucs signed Patrick Murray, and they cut Nick Folk at kicker. And how great was Duck Duck Goose last night for the Vikings?
That was fun. Was awesome. That was really good.
That was the best.
How great was that two-point conversion for the Bears?
Oh,
that was also
really
fun
cool.
Play.
Really cool. What a great game last night.
It was a great second half.
Yeah,
are
actually,
you happy
what,
that you've avoided your bonanza punishment for a week?
Very happy. Very
you
happy.
You proved that it's just made up talk. It's imaginary. There is no curse.
I agree. There is no curse. We nailed it with the Packers and the Cowboys. I just could pick the Packers or the Patriots every week, but yeah, that would kind of be cheating. All right, let's talk about the games, and then I will propose a new segment after we talk about Sunday night and Monday night. First Monday night. So the Bears were actually very thin at linebacker. And while I do confess I was watching two games at once, a little baseball on the laptop, I kept hearing John Gruden talk about how all the linebackers kept getting hurt for the Bears. So maybe that had something to do with Jerick McKinnon's big game. And he had a 58-yard touchdown run. But what, I don't know, any major takeaways from this game? Dave Richard.
Well, you gotta love and be inspired by what you saw with McKinnon and the fact that the Vikings were willing to give him so much more work. Certainly in the second half, it seemed like he had like two carries to every one of Murray's, maybe even more than that. And the touchdown run was a well-blocked run. It's proof that that offensive line, it's still doing some good things. And you can probably assume that they're going to continue to give McKinnon a good opportunity moving forward to be the lead back. I don't think he will completely shake Latavius Murray. It might take another 2 weeks of Murray playing like crap for that to happen. But he's got the job. He's got the lead job right now. You have to assume that they're going to lean on him going up against Green Bay.
Tariq Cohen is no longer a thing.
Yeah.
Well,
one catch is the most disappointing part for me. He had one catch.
No, Benny Cunningham is playing in that role.
No, one target. Well, Benny Cunningham had a touchdown catch on a fake punt.
Yeah, but he's also
right. He's playing a lot of
pass. He's pass protecting because he's dealing with a rookie quarterback. So at some point it may switch back. But Benny Cunningham right now has really taken Tariq Cohen out of the fantasy mix. And in 10-team leagues, you could drop him.
I'm trying to find the tweet from last night. Tariq Cohen's snap rates over the past month. 63% 4 games ago, 43% 3 games ago. He's at 27 and 28% the last 2 games.
It just, I don't know what that speaks to. Because he's clearly an explosive player. They tried to get him the ball in the first half.
They did.
And he couldn't get anything done with it.
He seems to want to score an 80-yard touchdown every time he touches the ball.
Right.
You notice that? He's always trying to make something big happen.
That's the kind of guy that he is. That's almost what they use him for, is let's put the ball in his hands and see if he can break one. Which, it's not a high percentage success rate there.
Do you guys trust the wide receivers? Do you trust the passing game for Minnesota? Because Rudolph, I could definitely understand why people sat him and it ended up being a bad decision, as he had 45 yards and a touchdown. But he had a combined 7 fantasy points in his previous 3 games. Thielen has been, 4 straight games with 5 catches, but not really doing much with it. And Diggs is a must-start, I guess, if he's healthy. But do you trust it this week against Green Bay, Thielen and Rudolph in particular?
I love this matchup. I'm starting all 3 of them.
Yep.
Well, then you got to think Keenum is not a terrible waiver wire option.
No, he's not. He might be the best of the bunch.
He was 3rd on my list of streamers.
He's 2nd for me behind Brissett.
Okay.
But I don't like how Thielen has single digits in fantasy points. This is non-PPR. Each of his last 4 games. And Diggs has either been above 20 or below 10. He's been above 20 twice and below 10 3 times. And last week, or yesterday, was a donut. And this is what I was fearing with Diggs coming into the year.
Below 10, but one of the games was, what, like 8 or something?
A 9.
Yeah.
He had a 9-pointer.
So he had 3 very good games and 2 total duds. And this one, I guess, a little excusable with the groin injury. All right, we'll talk about Zach Miller a little bit later. Jordan Howard's very good. He had a touchdown called back. Very good player. Kansas City 42, Houston 34. Honestly, you got to talk about both of these quarterbacks. Because, Deshaun Watson, he has been great. He has led fantasy quarterbacks 2 weeks in a row. He's been the number one guy, and he's got Cleveland this week. Awesome. But Alex Smith is having a great year, too. He hasn't thrown an interception. I don't think the Chiefs have turned the ball over since Kareem Hunt's first carry of the season in New England when he fumbled. Are both Smith and Watson starting quarterbacks in fantasy going forward?
Yes.
How can you say no?
I don't think I have Smith ranked as a starter this week.
That's interesting.
So
why not?
Steelers, it's a bad matchup.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's been very, very good against the pass, giving up less than 6 yards
per
pass
attempt. Though.
Yeah, that's fair.
Awful.
They do give up the 2nd fewest fantasy points, but they have not faced great competition.
They haven't faced anybody.
It is true, but that doesn't. But we expected them to have a pretty good defense.
Right.
Yes, but I mean, at some point you got to buy into great offense, and this has become a great offense.
It really has. Yeah, it really has.
Got a 14th, so it's close.
How are you frustrated with Tyreek Hill if you don't get fantasy points for punt returns?
He's kind of in that same boat as Diggs is, where he's either going to give you good numbers or he's going to be a total donkey for your team. Boom or bust. That's just how it goes with him, and that's the risk you take by starting him each week. But at least he's in an offense where that potential is there regardless of opponent.
What's your thought on Lamar Miller, who definitely did not have a bad game, but 15 carries, 74 yards, 2 catches, 15 yards. Heath, how do you feel about Lamar Miller?
you know, I don't feel bad about him. You drafted him as a number two running back, and that's pretty much what he's been. He's got even more, a larger percentage of the work this week. So yeah, I feel fine with him as my number two.
Standard scoring 9, 8, 5, 24, 8.
Yeah, a lot.
So he's been a very good number two running back.
So
I'm just glad he's getting the carries.
Like, how sell high-y are the Texans right now?
They play the Browns this week. I would probably go ahead and hold.
Yeah, but like, who's going to buy them going into a bye? Some people might, but that could be a tough sell.
But who are you selling really besides Fuller. Watson and Fuller?
Well, I mean, I don't know how you could name your price for DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, I feel like you can get.
But don't you think though that when he's had a quarterback, he's played well, and this is evidence of that?
I don't know that you need to sell high, but I think you could get LeSean McCoy for him if you want that. I don't think that's a bad trade for either side.
I think it's a bad trade.
I don't know.
I wouldn't give up LeSean McCoy for DeAndre Hopkins.
I mean, in a vacuum, no, but you know how it is. A lot of your teams,
close enough for me.
You have no running backs.
I mean, McCoy's going to break down at some point.
Right, maybe. That's true. But we just got done talking about how after this week, the Texans' schedule is going to be tougher, and you can't buy into DeAndre Hopkins getting 3 touchdowns every week. One every week, sure.
No, but you also would expect him to get more than the targets, the production that he had otherwise. I mean, I don't know. He's a great receiver, and when he's got guys that have put the ball in his hands, 2 of the last 3 years, you're seeing the production.
Yeah,
he got Osweiler last year.
He got so many targets. He got 12 targets. He's had 12 targets in 4 or 5 games or more. That's crazy. But Will Fuller, I guess, people want to know if they should sell high on him.
Yeah, he's a sell high candidate. Sure. I mean, look, anytime you're getting somebody off waivers that is not guaranteed, like running backs are different because they're guaranteed touches. Will Fuller is not guaranteed touches. And so the touchdowns have been great. He's had a great 2-week period. I think it could be sustainable for a third week. But if you can get, look, if I picked up Will Fuller off waivers and the Beckham owner is desperate right now, that's the first place I'm going.
I saw an interesting poll from late round QB on Twitter. Would you rather have Amari Cooper or Will Fuller rest of season?
Definitely.
And it was like 50-50.
Yeah. Really? I would expect that to be the result.
I would trade Fuller for Cooper.
He has 4 touchdowns on 6 catches.
Would you trade Fuller for Watkins? I wouldn't.
I don't think I would.
But that means that Watkins is droppable, right?
I struggled with it.
I could imagine a situation where you're dropping Sammy Watkins. I don't want to. That's how I'd feel about it.
All right, and let's wrap it up here and tell me where you have Deshaun Watson ranked.
Top 5 this week.
Yes. He's playing Cleveland. He's been awesome.
No, yeah, I think I've got him 4th.
Rest of season, I'm sorry. Rest of season.
Top 6.
6. Exactly.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that's where I've got him too.
Brady, Rogers, Breeze, Dak, Wilson, Dak, Watson.
Yeah, I would go the same top 3, Dak 4, Watson 5.
I definitely want to explore this because he's basically going to have one of the greatest rookie quarterback seasons ever for this to come true, for him to be a top.
Or just the rest of the guys are not that inspiring.
I could
listen to an argument for Cam over him.
Sure.
I could listen to an argument for Wentz over him. Maybe Ryan, sure.
Cousins.
Maybe Cousins. That's pretty much it.
But you can still see, I mean, look, Jameis is throwing the ball a lot. He could easily get there. Mariota could still finish better than him this point forward.
I think I'm the only one, but I could still see Roethlisberger being better.
He easily could with the second half schedule that he has.
All right. So I actually have a testimonial here. I have been using SeatGeek quite a bit. Was so close to pulling the trigger last night. $50 Yankees tickets. But I decided, no, I need to stay home and watch Bears-Vikings. So it did not go. But SeatGeek, I actually have been, just to see, comparing SeatGeek, because I'm going to be buying football tickets probably today or tomorrow for next month. SeatGeek with another website that does what SeatGeek does. Almost the same exact tickets, not even joking, $25 cheaper on SeatGeek. Absolutely amazing. You are getting the best price on SeatGeek because SeatGeek goes out and looks at multiple ticket sites, pulls in all the results. It does all the price comparison for you. This is Competition in the marketplace. This is what you want. SeatGeek finds the cheapest prices. It gives every seat a grade based on value so you can immediately identify the best seats. And we're giving you an amazing opportunity to save some money when you buy tickets, when you go to sports, when you go to concerts, when you go to comedy, to theater, whatever it is. Get $20 off your first purchase with our promo code FFT. Every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Download the SeatGeek app, use the promo code FFT, and save $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Again, the promo code is FFT. All right, will you guys take part in a new fun game, new fun segment?
I like fun.
Yeah.
All right. So this is what I propose. Have you seen the, you know what, Jelly Belly? The Jelly, it involves food. You're going to love this. You know
Jelly Beans?
Well, it's Jelly Belly is like a brand.
Okay.
Of Jelly Beans.
No idea.
So, you do. So they have something called Bean Boozled.
Oh, yeah. My kids have had these. Nope.
I propose a Bean Boozled taste test on the air.
I think it should be a Bean Boozled bonanza. Where Adam has to do the Bean Boozle every time the bonanza goes awry.
All right. So here's the deal. They have the jelly beans, and you can't tell what they are. And the flavors include dead fish or strawberry banana smoothie, spoiled milk or coconut, stinky socks or tutti frutti, lawn clippings or lime. You could have rotten egg or buttered popcorn. You could have toothpaste or berry blue. You could have barf or peach, or you could have canned dog food or chocolate pudding. And you won't know until you put it in your mouth, until you take a bite of the Jelly Belly.
Okay. So if we do this, then what's – I don't want to do it just to do it. I think it's got to be a punishment for something, like a bet or something.
All right. Well, that's an interesting spin on it. I will put my bonanza.
So here's the bet.
There.
If you get the bonanza right, then we have to do it each week. And if you get the bonanza wrong, then you have to do it.
All right. How many – just like there's just two Jelly Bellies out there and we only pick one, or you know, like one round of the game?
It's your call, big guy. So whatever you decide.
All right, I'm in. Now there is a price to pay for the bonanza, but I guess we have to determine what qualifies as a successful bonanza, but we can figure that out. All right, good. I'm looking forward to it.
I think you know a successful bonanza when you see one.
I mean, yes, but I guess sometimes there could be some gray area.
Multiple fantasy options doing well in the same game that you consider the
bonanza. And no season-ending injuries.
Oh, well, fine. Season ending.
Two major fantasy assets, because you have bonanzaed some seasons, Adam.
Yeah, that's fair. But as long as it's season ending. Some tweets, the drop-o-meter, and the rest of the waiver wire. Here's the grammatically incorrect tweet of the day from Phil Green, who really took the character limits on Twitter very seriously. Hey, Adam and crew. Me 1-3, DJ Dez Eifert. Today I was versus third place, 3-1. Their K was on by. I add drop all K's. He was angry. Thoughts? K's
hilarious.
Being kickers.
You gotta try to win your league.
I did this one year in a league where I didn't really love everybody else in the league. and they made all the transactions be retracted.
I think it's dirty. So basically this guy dropped every single kicker, added every kicker, dropped every kicker, put him on waivers so his opponent couldn't have a kicker.
That's hilarious.
I think it's terrible. You can't do that.
Yes, it's terrible. Of course it is.
What would you do if you were the commissioner and someone did that?
Laugh.
You'd let it go?
Yes.
I wouldn't.
See, here's the thing. The other team had every opportunity to get a kicker.
Right.
In
the time that he's picking up and dropping, this guy's just sitting there watching.
I waited until Sunday to pick up a kicker. I had a kicker on by.
Yeah, I don't do that.
That's your fault.
It's not my fault.
Like, who takes the time to screw their opponent like that? That's not cool.
Okay. Whether it's cool, I assume he won.
Look, I believe in all's fair and love and war and fantasy football. But if a guy did this with literally every kicker that's out there, I would allow the other teams in the league to pick up a kicker. I would use my commissioner's privilege.
Yeah.
And let them, you know, if they complain, I'll just say, all right, stop complaining. What kicker do you want? Oh, you want Kai Forbath? Okay. You've got him. Who are you dropping? Okay. You're dropping, Antonio Brown. good. You've got your deal. I don't know how many people would actually do that move, drop Brown for Kai Forbath, but you get the point.
All right, the grammatically correct tweet of the day is from Scott Brooks. Commando is easily the best Schwarzenegger movie. I'll be back, Bennett. I don't remember the line.
That was an underrated Nintendo game.
There was like multiple Schwarzenegger tweets, and you chose that one?
Yeah, because the other ones were like Jingle All the Way. They were clearly jokes.
But why are they jokes? Well, there was one guy emailed that said, just like Die Hard, it's a Christmas movie. Why don't you read that one?
Which one, Jingle All the Way?
Yeah, best Christmas movie like Die Hard.
I didn't see that one, but someone also suggested like Hercules in the Park or something like that. I don't even remember what the name of it was. A movie
I did watch after the game was over. I watched the end of the original Terminator.
It's a great movie.
Not two, the original.
Yeah, I know. That's also a great movie.
Yeah.
Commando is really good, but Terminator 2 and Predator.
I believe Commando is the acting debut of Alyssa Milano.
Oh, interesting. I thought Radon Chong was in that. Are they both in that?
She's the girl.
Okay. All right.
You're kidding.
So
she's a girl?
She's a girl. So I did get back on the winning side of FanDuel. I was very happy to see that. I won my 50-50. Did not win the CBS contest. Had a decent week. I want you all to play FanDuel. I want you to sign up, and I want you to use our promo code CBSPOD so you get into the NFL Sunday Million for free. But look, if you have a lousy fantasy team and you just want better players, FanDuel is perfect. You don't have to worry about losing Odell Beckham for the year. Just sign up on FanDuel. Use that code CBSPOD. Again, it's CBSPOD. And just start playing. You get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million. That's a great offer. There's no reason not to be playing daily fantasy football. If you're worried about time, it takes like less than 2 minutes to set a lineup. You're worried about cost? You can play for a dollar on FanDuel, and you get to enjoy more fantasy football. Every week, new chances to win money, new chances to see just how good you are at predicting fantasy outcomes. I mean, that's what this is. You're testing your skills. And over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. All of us are included in that. So please join now. Again, free entry into the NFL Sunday Million. Make your first deposit on FanDuel. Sign up with CBSPOD promo code. FanDuel.com, promo code CBSPOD. Void where prohibited. Time for the drop-o-meter. Who are we letting go of this week? And, all right, I'm going to do it. I've been debating it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do some Tom Petty theme segments here because I saw some amazing Tom Petty tributes over the weekend, including Miley Cyrus performing Wildflowers on Jimmy Fallon, which was amazing. But also, Jamie, did you see what the Gators fans did?
Of course, yeah.
That was cool.
You know he's from Gainesville, right?
Yeah. That was so cool. That was really amazing. So, drop-o-meter, which we could either call Free Fallin' or You Wreck Me. I'm going to go with You Wreck Me. Very underrated Tom Petty song. From Dizzy Dog, Corey Davis and Isaiah Crowell. Where are Corey Davis and Crowell in the drop-o-meter?
Crowell's a 10. Davis is a 5.
I would say Davis is a 7 with the report that he may not play anytime soon.
Yeah, I'll split the difference on Davis and say 6. And I'm going to go 6 as well on, no, 5 on Crowell. I would drop Davis before I would drop Crowell.
I would drop Davis before I drop Crowell too. I think, look, he didn't, game script was kind of, not to say game script, play calling was bad for him last week. They had an opportunity inside the 10 where they tried to throw the ball 3 times. And if they would have given it to him 3 times, maybe he had an opportunity to score. And they tried to throw it to him on one of those plays, but Hugh Jackson saying one thing and doing another. So I think he still has an opportunity here to get you 6 to 7 fantasy points on a given week. So that puts him in the flex range, but he's not somebody you have to consider a must start.
Yeah,
so
but isn't that
dropping though?
That's closer to his ceiling now than it is to his floor. And he did have a carry inside the 10 and he fumbled it last week.
No, it was Kaiser.
What do you mean? Kaiser threw it and he couldn't come up with it.
Fumbled on Kaiser.
Fumbled, right, but. I think Crowell had something to do with it.
I said on Twitter this morning that I think Marshawn Lynch is a poor man's LeGarrette Blount. I think Isaiah Crowell is a poor man's Marshawn Lynch.
Well, I will say
50 yards, and you hope they score.
Crowell had an 8-game stretch last year where he averaged 2.5 yards per carry and 26 rushing yards per game. So, you know, he's been bad before and bounced back. But unfortunately, in that stretch, he averaged 30 receiving yards per game. You're not getting that this year. But
look, in 10-team leagues, he's gone.
Okay.
12-team leagues, you can still make a case to hold.
All right, Mason Slaybaugh says, Martavis Bryant on the drop-o-meter. Martavis Bryant.
He's getting there.
4.
I'll say four.
There's a pretty good history of number two wide receivers against the Chiefs. This is a good matchup.
Is this it?
But
or is it Juju?
It's on the road, but you know the whole home Martavis home bin thing was broken last week, so maybe that freed them up on the road.
Oh, okay. So now we're just going to go ahead and believe that Ben's going to be great on the road.
They had to suck at home before they could be good on the road.
I think he sucks everywhere.
Wow.
And, okay, Kansas City does allow the second most fantasy points to wide receivers, so not quite ready to drop Martavis. Sammy Watkins from Keith. Sammy Watkins. If Martavis is like a four, where's Watkins?
You don't want to say four, do you? But guess what? Four.
Five.
Watkins?
Yeah. You're dropping Sammy?
Yeah.
The problem is, when do you start him now?
Never.
Right.
You can't do it this week. You almost have to figure that you've got to see it first. After this week, he's going to be against Arizona in London. That's Patrick Peterson. That's probably not going to end well. Then he's on a bye. And then it's the Giants. That's another tough matchup. All right, the number's going up in my head. It's higher than four. When you look at the schedule, his next easy matchup might not be – we've talked about this with the Rams. Week 12 against New Orleans? Does that even qualify as a good matchup now?
I'll say it again. It's not him. Mm-hmm. It's them. They don't like him. Well, why trade for him?
But he could change. He could start getting targets, but it's just these tough matchups for Sammy Watkins.
I would try and trade him away first. Get whatever you can. Put him in a package deal.
Maybe a defense to fill in for you. Kicker.
If it's a good defense, why not?
Jake Elliott.
All right. Let me round it back up. Stefan says, Jonathan Stewart. Here's an interesting one. Jonathan Stewart on the drop-o-meter.
Three.
He's the same as Correll to me.
Yep.
Yeah, I like him a little more. Score. I think it's a better offense, so I like him a little more. I'll say 3.5.
I'll say 5.
He's only had his starting center for one game. I don't know if that matters. The other thing is, like, the bye weeks are here. Any running back who's going to get 15 carries, he needs to be owned by somebody.
Right.
You know? So keep that in mind.
The question becomes is if you have a good team and you're looking to pick up and Stewart's somebody that's or Crowell or some of these guys are at the end of your bench, what makes more sense for your roster? Like, to Heath's point, you said you don't have anybody to drop for Breida or Mac. Would you rather take the upside of these guys if you're not playing them? Would you rather take the upside of these guys comparatively to guys like Stewart or Crowell if you're never going to play them?
Yeah, I'm not in fortunate enough running back situations where I can just say I'm never going to play Jonathan Stewart or Isaiah Crowell. Mm-hmm. So I think on the
– If you were, though.
Yes, sure. If they were my fourth running back, absolutely. But for me, just looking at setting some of my lineups for week six,
those six points are more valuable too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, we'll finish up here. Just give me some numbers. Tyrell Williams, drop-o-meter.
Zero six. For this week.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not dropping him. Not dropping him.
Okay. Wait, zero for this week?
Yeah.
What am I missing here? Oakland's actually been pretty good against wide receivers.
Yeah, but I like Rivers, and I think he's going to throw very well against this team.
Okay. From Manny. No, that was the one from Manny. From Dave. Gilly Boy, Mike Gillisley.
Zero.
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 From Marco, Derrick Henry.
Zero.
One.
3 in a 10-team league, 2 in a 12-team league or higher.
From Fantasy Gumbo, interesting. Marcus Mariota.
I had to do it in one league, but I didn't want to. I'm going to say he's like a 2.5.
3.5.
Zero.
Ben Roethlisberger.
10.
No. 10.
Yeah.
10.
7.
He is in the exact same boat as Sammy Watkins. When are you ever going to trust him? When are you
going
to put
game.
Him in your lineup and say, yes, it's time?
The second half
time.
Of the season.
He's had two home games so far. One was good, one was bad. Like
one was real bad.
Yeah, he was terrible.
And now he's going on the road again at Kansas City. That's going to be terrible. Then he's got the Bengals
coming off.
They've
been so bad against quarterbacks. They give up like the 7th most fantasy points to quarterbacks.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Hold on to him. Don't start him. And then when you see that he stinks again, you'll cut him.
Fine.
You can't start him this week. You
probably
can't.
Not. Probably not. But I'd probably start Ben over most of, if not all, of these waiver wire quarterbacks because the waiver wire quarterbacks suck this week. And here we go. Waiver wire quarterbacks. Jacoby Brissett, Case Keenum, Josh McCown, Brian Hoyer. Ugh. Brissett, Keenum, McCown, Hoyer. Are you guys excited about any of these guys?
I'm excited to start them over Eli Manning or Jay Cutler if I bought back into that, or Jared Goff.
Yes.
That's it.
What about Ben Roethlisberger?
I'm starting Ben over all these guys.
Me too.
Not me.
All right, Dave, who are you going to start over Ben?
Brissett, Hoyer, McCown, Keenum, wow. Simeon, Flacco.
I think you – okay. I mean, Brissett is 61% owned. Now, you look at Tennessee, they faced two mobile quarterbacks already, and both of them scored 40 fantasy points, Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. Neither of them really did it with their legs, but maybe getting out of the pocket, I don't know. So he's got a great matchup. Keenum has Green Bay, could be chasing points, who knows. Josh McCown is New England. We know that's a good matchup. And Brian Hoyer is at Washington. Actually, Washington, Carson Wentz, the only quarterback with multiple passing touchdowns against the Redskins. That was in week one. All right, Brissett, is he a top 15 guy this week?
Yes.
Barely.
Not quite. No. I have him 17th.
Okay. Most people are not going to be starting these guys. Do we disagree on the order at all? Jamie has him Brissett, Keenum, McCown, Hoyer.
I disagree on leaving Kevin Hogan out.
All right.
You got to have a lot of chutzpah to start Kevin
deep,
Hogan.
Deep, 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 two quarterback leagues. People can have him.
I think he's maybe better than some of these guys this week. Houston's pass defense hasn't been all that good with Watt and Merciless. Their corners are not that good. They're going to throw a lot. You got to chase the score behind Deshaun Watson. Hogan has been, just say it, when he's played this year, he's been great.
Great?
Great. He's averaging almost 10 yards per pass attempt.
That's been pretty good.
Garbage time, though.
I think they will have plenty of this this game.
Well, what about Trevor Siemian? We haven't talked about him yet. He's 41% owned. The Giants are a wounded animal going there on Sunday night. Still been pretty good against quarterbacks, terrible against running backs, so it should be a good C.J. Anderson game. But, like, you wouldn't take Siemian over Brissett and Keenum and all these guys?
Not those two. I would take him over everybody else, though.
I have Siemian behind Brissett ahead of everyone else.
Including Kevin Hogan?
I just think this is a run game for Denver.
I do, too.
Yeah, I think they win by 30. No, I think they win by 20. So, should be a lot.
Yeah, they could also get, like, two pick sixes and he just handed off most of the game.
Definitely. Now, if somebody drops Ben Roethlisberger, that could be a good option for you. You can drop Eli Manning. You can drop Andy Dalton if you need to. He's on a bye. You could drop Tyrod Taylor. He's on a bye. But could you see Dalton and Taylor being starting caliber quarterbacks, streaming caliber quarterbacks going forward?
Not really Tyrod without Charles.
Well, here's the thing with Tyrod, though. His schedule is amazing. Tyrod's schedule is ridiculous. He gets, after their bye week, the next four games, Tampa Bay, which they haven't been good, Oakland, which they've been hit or miss against quarterbacks.
Both of them at home.
Three of the four at home. The Jets only went on the road, and then New Orleans. Mm. So if he gets Clay back at any point during that, or Jordan Matthews, plus with how he's played at home, his two best games have been at home, 21 fantasy points. So the way that I wrote it is, don't hold him now. You don't have to hold him now. But if you want to buy back into him, buy back into him. And the same thing with Dalton. After their bye week, they get a road game at Pittsburgh, but in week eight, he gets the Colts. So, but it's also kind of hit or miss. He has a good game, bad game moving forward for Dalton. So I think these guys are easily droppable now, but you could be looking at them absolutely coming off their bye weeks.
A smart fantasy owner would go and grab Tyrod Taylor now or maybe even later this
Saturday.
Week.
Beat
and,
the waiver
and
wire.
Stash him as a bye week.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So running backs running down a dream. Also team name Tuesday. A couple of quick, terrible team names. Not that bad. He Wentz to Jared. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I like this one. Brissett on Kaiser.
Funny.
Like brisket. Yeah.
Ah.
It's good. I like it. All right. Running down
a
dream.
I just got a great one on Twitter.
What did we get?
Mitch better have my money.
Did you see the Mitch please t-shirt?
Shirt. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It was funny. Running backs are the most interesting this week, I think. So, look, you could still get Aaron. You could still get Aaron Jones, Javoris Allen, Andre Ellington, Rob Kelly. They're available in about 25% of leagues. Aaron Jones, Javoris Allen, Andre Ellington, Rob Kelly. In fact, Javoris Allen's 66% owned. These are all four of those guys must own guys: Jones, Allen, Ellington, Kelly.
Yes.
Yep.
Wish Kelly was healthy this week.
Yeah. What's his deal? Is he not going to play?
He's in a walking boot, which isn't good. So maybe he gets into practice, you know, starting tomorrow. But man, he could be awesome against the 49ers. Bowman's banged up. He hasn't been playing very much, and we know what that run defense has been without him in there. You saw what the Colts were able to do with Marlon Mack. It's just a tired, tired defense.
Is Reuben Foster playing?
I'm not sure.
Because if he plays, he'll have fresh legs. That'll help them a teeny-weeny bit. But if he's out, then, yeah, the point is underscored with the 49ers. They played 160 snaps on defense.
I don't care if Foster plays. They're going to get destroyed.
160 snaps on defense over the last 2 weeks, and they're on the road again.
Okay, so again, those names are Aaron Jones, Javoris Allen, Andre Ellington, and Rob Kelly. Who's your favorite in standard? Who's your favorite in PPR?
Jones.
Rest of season or this week?
Both.
Yeah, this week.
This week, I'll say Jones.
Rest of season.
I think I'd rather have Buck Allen.
Okay, I understand. I understand where you're coming from. But Jerick McKinnon is only 30% owned. Elijah McGuire, 49% owned. Wayne Gallman, the Gall man, 62% owned. It's just the matchups, you know, at Denver. They're so good. Seattle and then a bye. Matt Breida, Marlon Mack, Alex Collins. That would probably be the big six. McKinnon, McGuire, Gallman, Matt Breida, Marlon Mack, Alex Collins. If McKinnon's number one, is he ahead of Ellington or Rob Kelly?
Yes.
Yeah. I would not put him ahead of Ellington in PPR, but otherwise, yes.
I mean, he could basically be the same thing as Ellington, but with more carries by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, I don't.
Ellington's been getting 7-8 catches or 9 catches, you know, the last couple of weeks. I mean, McKinnon in a nip and tuck game was 5 catches last night. If they're chasing points against Green Bay, that could get to 8 or 9 easily.
Better offensive line, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is McKinnon better than Aaron Jones?
If you're of the camp that Jones disappears when Montgomery comes back, then yes.
But then you also have to be of the camp that Jerick McKinnon has this job on lock rest of season, no doubt about
it. Well, I think
even if he has some bad games.
I think it's a shared situation with their carries.
And he's not going to break a 58-yard run very often.
No, but he could be 88 total yards consistently. And that's what you're hoping for with 5 catches on a weekly basis. I mean, look, he was so involved in the passing game last year. And like Dave said, the offensive line is better.
We have the memory of McKinnon being terrible last year. He averaged 3.4 yards per carry. But it's reasonable to say that very few running backs could have been good on Minnesota last year. And going into that season, McKinnon, in limited work, was a 5-yard per carry guy.
Yeah.
So he might be a good player. But it's not like – we don't think Latavius Murray is just going to disappear and still get some carries, right?
Right, he'll get some. I don't think he'll get as many as he had yesterday, which is 12. Do you know what McKinnon's rushing average was yesterday without the long touchdown?
2-point-something yards.
2.5.
Yeah. But again, it's the combo work. That's why I think he's very comparable to Ellington, but he'll get more carries. Because Ellington's not doing a lot with this.
I see that.
He's
sure.
Duke Johnson. He's Alvin Kamara. He's you know, just in a situation where he'll get more carries than those guys. But
right.
You know, the situations in the passing game may be better for those other
players. I feel like he'll be a little bit better than those guys because of the carries that he gets. I think he's an improvement on them.
I got to tell you, I see the potential there with McKinnon. I certainly see it with McGuire, the long-term potential for Breida and Mack, and even Alex Collins, 52%. I just don't know. I'd have to be pretty desperate to add Wayne Gallman.
It's a difficult, difficult, difficult situation. They can't block when they have a threat of a pass. They have a terrible, terrible schedule over the next month.
Right. Do you know just how bad it is?
It's atrocious, and it's not really a whole lot better in the fantasy playoffs.
They're at Denver, Broncos coming off a bye. Then they're home against Seattle, Seahawks coming off a bye. Bye week, you'll be happy you can't start them then. Rams in week 9, Rams coming off a bye, just like the Giants are. 2 weeks later, they host the Chiefs. The Chiefs will be coming off of a bye. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. But he does look pretty good. The only thing is, we don't know if Darkwa is going to play. And Darkwa started.
Darkwa was in later in that game, wasn't he? I think he came in, like, was on a kick return, on the last kick return with Vereen.
Then I don't know that, but then, if that's the case, then he's going to play. And Vereen actually could catch a lot of passes. Actually, that's not a bad point. I didn't think about that. Vereen caught a few passes on the final drive of the game, and they're going to be trailing. And
were you just telling yourself that you were making a good point?
Yes, that is a good point. Shane Vereen needs to be on the waiver wire list, Jamie. Update this.
Okay.
He's a PPR ad. You don't see what I see here?
Yeah. No, I haven't mentioned in the write-up of Gallman, but I also see Gallman working on passing downs too.
Okay. You'll get 7 or 8 fantasy points per week in PPR out of Vereen. Is that good?
Okay, and I mean, not really, but
it's good for a bye week. Yeah, right. Running back.
All right, other guys. Samaje Perine. We've just talked about how vulnerable San Francisco could be. Samaje Perine, Jalen Richard against the horrible Chargers, Deion Lewis, Corey Clement at Carolina, and that's about it. But what? Give me your thoughts real quick on Alex Collins. We haven't talked much about him. He's 52% owned.
I still think he's the best player on Baltimore's roster.
Coaches don't trust him. That's why he only got so much work.
This helped. He had 12 carries and didn't drop the ball.
But he did it in the same game where they leaned on Buck Allen, and Allen did great. So I still think he's just as far behind Allen as he was going into the game in the coach's eyes.
But he's another guy, Collins, that you could see paying off down the stretch.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's a lot of them
absolutely.
This week. You know, so
because they leaned on Allen, but Allen didn't run well.
Didn't he have one decent run? Kind of pulled a McKinnon, where he had one decent run, and
he
then
had
everything
like
else was
21 for 71 or something like that, right?
Right,
off the top of my head. Okay,
no, I got it right here.
Was that what it was?
He had. Hold on.
Oh, you said you had. You lied to us, Dave.
You know what? There's something that popped on the screen.
21 for 73.
And he didn't even have a long run. His longest run was 9 yards.
And 4 catches for 12 yards.
He's not a good runner. He's a decent pass catcher out of the backfield. They need to give Collins more work.
This is a sell-high guy.
Wide receivers into the great wide open. It's a decent.
See, now, if I had just made that mistake with, you know, lousing up the flow of the show, would I have to have a Bean Boozle?
No.
Otherwise, is that my punishment for
there'd be
up?
A lot of Bean Boozling. There'd be a lot of it. So no, I'm going to say no. Wide receivers to add. John Brown, Jamie, is number one here?
Yes.
All right, these are guys owned in less than 65% of leagues. Shallower leagues, Will Fuller is 75% owned. Sterling Shepard is 80% owned. We don't know if he's going to play this week. Danny Amendola is 73% owned. That'd be the guy I'd be going after. Willie Snead, 82% owned. Tyrell Williams, 73% owned. So Fuller, Shepard, Amendola, Snead, Tyrell Williams. Okay, that's established. Now, John Brown, Cooper Kupp, Marvin Jones, Mike Wallace. Jamie, that's your top four. John Brown, Cooper Kupp, Marvin Jones, Mike Wallace.
Great group, right?
Yeah, no thank you. But are you excited about any of them?
Look, if Brown is healthy,
yep,
he could be great.
Okay.
And he was second in the targets among receivers for them last week.
And I don't know what to make of this matchup this week. I want to look more into it and see if there's any type of rhyme or reason as to where the Cardinals are lining everybody up. Because
just keep Fitzgerald in the slot. Slot receivers had a lot of success against the Bucks.
Yeah, slot, that'll be great. But whoever is going to be lined up over Hargraves, you should expect to catch a long pass.
All right, so John Brown, they're facing the Bucks this week, 41%. Then there's Cooper Kupp, who's at Jacksonville. Could be a tough one. Marvin Jones.
Again, he'll avoid the two outside guys.
That's a good point. All right, Marvin Jones at New Orleans. We like that. Of course, we need Stafford to play, but Marvin Jones for this week. Mike Wallace, 2 good games in a row. They have the Bears in Baltimore. And then there's Nelson Aguilar. Ricardo Lewis, who's led the Browns in receiving 2 straight games, had 71 yards last week. Taylor Gabriel is facing the Dolphins. Jermaine Kearse has New England. Josh Doctson against San Francisco. Heath likes Kendall Wright at Baltimore. Mike Williams is a stash candidate. Juju Smith-Schuster is 10% owned. He had 58 yards on 6 targets last week. Marquise Goodwin at a 100-yard game. He's at Washington. And Roger Lewis is at Denver. Ugh.
I just hope that they announce that Sterling Shepard is going to miss 2 weeks.
Yes.
And then he's going to sit out for the bye. And a whole bunch of people are going to drop him for receivers like this. And you should pick him up. Because he's going to be great in the second
half. I agree. I think he could be a real winner for everybody in PPR leagues.
I'm not sure about that. He wasn't good in week one.
They have.
He's the only
seven
guy catches
in week
town.
One for PPR leagues.
And I believe they face four of the worst six teams against wide receivers after their bye in like the next six games.
Take the number one. He's the number one wide receiver on the worst offense in the NFL. He's Ricardo Lewis.
Yeah, but he's good.
I actually think Evan Ingram could really benefit too. And
yeah, he was great last week.
Well, that was weird. He'll be available. He's like 75% owned. Are any of these wide receivers that I mentioned that you, I don't know, that you're going to be looking at? Ricardo Lewis, Taylor Gabriel, Kirst, Doxon, Kendall Wright, Mike Williams, Smith-Schuster, Goodwin, Lewis.
Every league has at least one owner looking for a wide receiver, if not two.
Yeah. All right.
That was the best endorsement you could hear of this list.
Wide receiver.
There's definitely somebody that might want to add one of these guys.
Yeah, that's the slogan. Wide receiver, you need somebody. tight ends this week. Safarian Jenkins, Ryan Griffin facing the Browns, Zach Miller against Baltimore, Ed Dixon against Philadelphia, Tyler Higbee at Jacksonville, George Kittle at Washington, David Njoku at Houston, A.J. Derby against the Giants, and Nick O'Leary on a bye.
I actually moved Kittle up a couple spots on this, Adam, because the Redskins have been miserable against tight ends, too.
Yes, a tight end has scored 9 or more fantasy points in standard leagues in every game against Washington.
Yep.
Only the Giants allow more fantasy points. So we're looking at Safarian Jenkins, then Griffin, then Kittle?
Yep.
Zach Miller, Ed Dixon, Higbee, Njoku, Derby, O'Leary. Heath, your take on the tight ends?
Yeah, I think the only thing I would disagree with is I would still put Miller ahead of Kittle. But Austin Safarian Jenkins, Griffin, easily the top two.
I would say if you want somebody long-term, Miller's better than Kittle. But if you're just looking for the one-week situation, Kittle is just as good as Ryan Griffin right now.
Could Kittle actually be the second-best rest-of-season tight end?
Well, he could be. Sure.
Well, I think the case could be made for it because we've seen Zach Miller disappear plenty of times over his career. And Ryan Griffin, he's got a great matchup this week, but it doesn't guarantee anything. I think we've seen Deshaun Watson really lean heavily on his receivers the last couple of weeks. I don't want to be accused of buying into George Kittle's 9-target, 7-catch overtime game, but I think he got a big opportunity and he ran with it. And this is a team that needs a second pass catcher beyond Pierre Garçon.
Well, Goodwin's been good.
Goodwin had one good game.
Two.
He had two good catches.
He's had two good games.
I think
the last two times Horace played well.
I think if I'm scrambling for tight end, I would take a chance on Kittle, and I might not even use him this week. But
I would. If you're going to pick him up, you use him against the
Redskins.
Maybe,
but I could still stream Miller, Griffin, use those guys, and just have Kittle on the bench ready to go in case
Well, if you're streaming, you'd stream Kittle over Miller because Kittle's situation's much better.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you.
Kittle number two. Like, do you like Safarian Jenkins? He's number one on this list. Do you like Safarian Jenkins better than Evan Ingram, Cameron Brate, or Hunter Henry?
Not over Brate.
Yeah, sure.
This week he's my favorite of that group, by far.
Okay. Rest of season, who's your favorite? Ingram, Brate, Henry, Safarian Jenkins.
Brate.
Henry.
Brate, Henry, ASJ.
All right, let's go to the DSTs. Not a great list. Falcons have the Dolphins. Patriots have the Jets. The Redskins get the Niners. They will not have Josh Norman, but they do get the Niners. The Rams are at Jacksonville. Jacksonville allows the fewest fantasy points to opposing DSTs. That's incredible. It's because they don't throw the ball. But if they're forced to throw, there might be some turnovers. And they've only allowed 5 sacks. And the Bucs are at Arizona, and Arizona actually allows a ton of fantasy points. But the Falcons, the Pats, the Redskins, the Rams, the Bucs. Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about the Falcons and the Pats.
Yeah, and the Redskins too for me. Again, tired for the 49ers.
Okay, not bad. Think that's going to conclude today's show. Unless you guys have anything else to add?
Do you want to apologize to George?
Well, no, because he beat me by one damn point in fantasy football today, so I don't feel like apologizing for anything right. He'd apologize to me. I want to thank Heath, Jamie, and Dave for joining me today. Everybody, have yourself a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We're going to read a lot of your emails tomorrow. I do feel bad we don't get to more emails, so tomorrow we'll make a point to read some of them at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Take it easy, everybody. Thanks for listening. This is Fantasy Football Today.
Bye. It's all right.